Are you really in control of your mind? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you will hear from John McTernan, who was on our previous show, who struggled being out of control with bad thoughts that plagued him.
I can so relate to that because when I was struggling with anxiety and fear and panic, it was like these thoughts were coming at me 100 million miles an hour. And I couldn't just think of one thing at a time. And it was just like all these things happening at once, it felt like. And it was overwhelming. And I can remember trying not to think about that thought or whatever it was. And the more I tried not to think about it, the more I would. It's kind of like saying, don't think of the color red. And then what do you think of? The color red. Mm. So it's very hard when you're trying not to think of that thought.
So I think many of us, we think we're in control of our minds, but really it doesn't end up being that way. And I think most people listening would say, you know, there's many times in my life where I feel like I don't have control over my mind or my thoughts, and I kind of lose control. So what's the answer to this? I mean, the Bible alludes to the idea that when we give God our lives, that He gives us a blessing of the ability to control our thoughts or to be able to think upon good things.
Right.
For example, in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3, it says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." When I think of the word established, that means it's firm, rock solid, not spitter spatter all over the place, but very firm and rock solid, like you're standing on a rock.
Mm-hmm. And what really helped me is to know that, did you know you can only think one thought at a time? So even though it feels like everything's overwhelming, your mind can only think one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, put on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you have Jesus in your life, you have the power and ability to control those thoughts and to reject the negative things. And we're to dwell on whatever's pure, true, noble, praiseworthy, and of a good report. So when we think about good things, then the bad things start to go away. So if you're struggling with your thoughts, start reading the Word of God, reject those lies, those bad thoughts in Jesus' name, and know that you have the power of God on your side to have self-control, that you don't have to be out of control. Let's hear from John McTernan right here after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Four Seasons Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Like to be pampered? Come to Four Seasons Nails, where customers always leave feeling relaxed and looking good. Located in Denver's historic Highlands neighborhood, Four Seasons Nails is your oasis to escape from stress, offering a wide variety of professional nail and waxing services. Come to Four Seasons Nails at 3481 West 32nd Avenue in Denver, or call them at 303-455-3025.
We are excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does He allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from Him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us once again is John McTernan, and he's going to share with us how he went from an atheist to a Christian. And what's neat about his story is that he wasn't just rejecting God like some atheists do, where they're like hateful. He was just really not believing in God. And
just kind of lacked belief.
Yeah. And he grew up going to church with his grandparents. And later on, as he was going to college, found out that he didn't believe in evolution. He didn't believe in a lot of the things they were teaching, but he felt empty inside. And he also started to have some really bad thoughts. He didn't like the thoughts he was having and didn't know how to control them. So let's welcome back to the show, John. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So I know that some of the thoughts you were having were like you saw a car accident and there was a guy in there. And as you left, you had just a weird, odd thought, like thinking, wow, I wish something would have happened, which you were like thinking, why am I thinking this? This is horrible.
Yeah.
and you couldn't quite figure out why you were having these uncontrollable thoughts. What started to happen in your life as you began to search more for the truth?
Well, again, there was a big void in me. Some people believe in the Lord and they go to college and they're exposed to evolution and philosophy and man's logic and they, quote, lose their faith. So with me, I went to college and I saw all that stuff. I wasn't a believer and I rejected it all. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely had no really faith in anything.
Wow.
It's kind of odd. I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody with a testimony like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is.
But there was a big void in me, and I knew materialism was not the answer. I knew that. Mm-hmm. And me and my wife were celebrating our year anniversary, and we had not planned anything. And we got a flyer in the mail about a block party two blocks away from us, and they were having a Hebrew Christian event there, you know, believing Jews. So she wanted to go, and I wasn't really against it. So I said, okay, I'll go along with you. So I went, and the man that was speaking was a Jewish believer in the Lord. And he was talking about Bible prophecy. Now, I knew nothing about the Bible. I didn't read. I never read the Bible. I knew nothing, zero about the Bible. But he was talking about Bible prophecy, about the nation of Israel, why the Jews were dispersed into the land, about them coming back into the land, God's covenant with the Jewish people. And then he went into Bible prophecy about Christ's first coming. Mm-hmm. And it was like all new to me. I never heard any of this.
Wow.
He was mixing history in, which I am by nature a historian, so I knew he was telling the truth.
Mm.
And at the end, what he did was he gave a call to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he said, God's power is so strong that he can even control your thoughts.
Wow.
And that was the key. Then the verse that brought me to the Lord was Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And he taught about God wanting a personal relationship. He said, you only have a meal with someone you like, you know, unless you're forced to. But of your own, you only will have a meal with someone that you like or you're friendly with. And God wants to be your friend. So my prayer, I'll never forget this, it's burned into me.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer was, how about this for a prayer? God, I don't believe you exist. That was the beginning of my prayer. And I said, this man said that if I pray, you'll reveal yourself to me. So that was my prayer. That was my prayer of challenging God, so to speak. And it was instant. I had no sooner finished that prayer, and I was hit with this revelation in my mind about the Bible being the Word of God, that it was true. I mean, from that moment on to this day, I never, ever had any doubt about the authority of the Bible as the Word of God. And then that started my journey to where I am today. And I never, from day one, have lost interest in Bible prophecy. I've written books on it. I study it. I preach on it. I teach on it. So that's one of the ministries that I've been involved in, is Bible prophecy.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Has that void been healed in your life? And how about your thoughts?
Oh, completely. The thoughts were a battle. It didn't happen right away. It took a period of time. But yeah, everything is under control. The thoughts that I didn't want are gone. The thoughts that I want are there.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind lines up now with God's word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people listening here right now that they may be agnostic or atheist, or maybe they're a Christian, but they go to college and they're confused because of
right.
all this evolution and all these teachings. What would you say to these people who are just confused or don't even know if God exists or is real?
Well, what opened my eyes up about the reality of God, let's say the authority of the Bible as the Word of God, is the nation of Israel. God made a covenant with Abraham 4,000 years ago. The Bible tells about the dispersion of the Jews and why, and that they're coming back into the land, and Jerusalem will be the capital because of that covenant, and that's all to take place prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So if people want tangible proof, there it is.
Mm.
Israel was out of being a nation for 1,900 plus years. Hebrew was a dead language. Jerusalem and that area belonged to many different empires.
Right.
And now today, they speak Hebrew. Jerusalem's the capital. They're back in the land, and they even have shekels for money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tangible proof. I tell people, like atheists, agnostics, I said, look, go to El Al, get a ticket where you fly to Tel Aviv, fly into Israel, take a bus up to Jerusalem or a cab, and you'll hear the Jews speaking Hebrew. You'll see Jerusalem at the capital. You'll see the old city of Jerusalem under the authority of Israel. There's your proof. There's your proof right there.
So the proof is in there, and when you read the Bible, you knew it was true. There are people listening now and say, but I do believe in God. What can I do to not have these bad thoughts? Because I've been getting them. Are those thoughts theirs, maybe an outside voice? How can they start being healed from their own thoughts?
Well, what really brought the complete healing of me was God healed my heart. I didn't realize it, but I had a broken heart. And in Luke 4:18 in the Bible, among other things, Jesus Christ said he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So once my heart was healed, everything completely settled down in me. And then that's when I got the complete victory.
Wow. Well, we're going to pray for our guests right now to have healing in their hearts, complete wholeness, and that God would bring them on that journey. And I'm just so thankful for you, for what you do and the ministry you have. And I know people can look you up as well to get more help too for healing the heart. But we're going to pray for people. And again, we're talking with John McTernan. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you. And again, God bless all your listeners.
Well, I think that's very credible proof that it's true that it was prophesied before Israel was dispersed like that. I mean, imagine a nation was completely destroyed, should have been, you know, no longer a nation, but today is a nation again, just like what the Bible says would happen. And so we are seeing that there's a lot of validity in that book, but most of all, there's a lot of validity in this God. And if there's validity in God, and if he's real, that means he has the power to heal your heart. Mm-hmm. He has the power to come down to the reality of where your hurts and pains have been from the past, and has the power to rewrite it. He has the power to change it and heal you from it so that it no longer dictates your future. Mm-hmm. Father God, I'm praying for someone who is saying, that's me, I'm brokenhearted. I feel like there's been pains. There's been things that have happened to me that I can't get over. Mm-hmm. And I'm struggling with thoughts. I'm struggling with thoughts of how I hate myself or how I don't want to continue these wrong thoughts. So Lord Jesus, we just pray right now that you'd just get rid of the carnal mind. And Lord God, right now, as we receive you, Lord Jesus, as we receive your spirit, yes, we ask for the mind of Christ, mm-hmm, the mind of Christ to come upon you right now, and the power of God to be filled with your mind, your soul, your body, and everything that is in you. Father, we ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. As John said, he has the power to set you free. So seek and you shall find. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.